I talked about this morning, sometimes we get very one-dimensional as it comes to our understanding and interpretation of the Scripture. We quote, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. All right, supposed to go to church on the Sabbath, not to work on the Sabbath, whatever, however you've identified it, interpreted it, and believed it. But understand that this command involves more than just the activities of one day. It also gives us the biblical structure of our seven-day work week that is modeled by God for all of our days. He doesn't just stop with remember the Sabbath day. He tells us how we're to spend the rest of our days. The 6 days. As a matter of fact, look at verse number 9. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. So again here, inclusive in the command is how we are to live, and a part of our biblical lifestyle is the character of hard work. It's not just about resting, and some of you have been looking forward to this one. Oh, I can't wait for the fourth commandment. It's about how we take holy naps on Sundays, and it's about how we don't go to work. Hey, 6 days before the seventh day is this idea, you're to be a hard worker. You're to be a laborer in this world. It's all inclusive of 7 days, not just one day. Now let's examine the extremes for just a moment. Because on the one hand, you have those who never rest. They never take a day off. They're always working. By the way, I don't know that that's something to brag about. I grew up, not from my father, I didn't learn this from my father. My dad has always taught us this, but I grew up in an era of fundamentalism where this idea of your spirituality was determined about how hard you went. Don't take a day off. God doesn't take days off. We shouldn't take days off, men of God. And I heard that, and I was taught that. I don't know that that's something to brag about. I don't know that it speaks very well when we are so consumed with work that we never find time for family. We never find time for worship. That we are characterized by how many hours a day we're working rather than the investment that we're spending with the time God has given us. So you have this extreme of this one person who never rests. They're always working. They never want to take days off. It's not that they're not given. They just don't want to. They would rather work than be home. They'd rather work than spend time with their family. They just are going, going, going. But then you have this other extreme. The other extreme is those who work as little as possible. And have you noticed that there's this major generation gap right now in our culture? Because you look at our parents and some of you older ones and grandparents. I mean, that generation was a hard-working generation. Not concerned about handouts, not concerned about what other people do or for them just to get by. I mean, they're finding a job and they're working hard. I think about both of my grandparents. One's in heaven today, and my mom's dad's not doing well at all. I hope you'll pray for him. He was the one that was involved in a home break-in several years ago, got shot several times in the face, and he's recently had a stroke. He's not doing well at all, but I look at both of my grandparents. They were coal miners in West Virginia, man, and they were hard-working men. I look at some of you, the older generation. I'm talking about hard-working men. But then you get concerned a little bit with my generation. Because my generation, or even those a little younger with me, thinks a part-time job is going to give them a nice life. Now, there's a reason why it's called full-time. It means you can live a full life, all right? Work part-time, you have part of a life, all right? But that's this idea. This is this idea. I want to work as little as possible. So you try to help somebody find a job, and you find them this good job, decent pay. Well, I don't want to work this day, and I don't want to work late. And that's too hard. I don't want to flip hamburgers. I don't want to do that, you know? And this idea. So you have this extreme in our culture. This extreme of hardworking people that never want to rest, that want to go, 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 go. And then we've got a generation of young people that need to be slapped over the face saying, get a job. Work. You understand what I'm saying? So this idea of the seventh day and having a day of rest, it means so much more, because before there's a day of rest, there's 6 days of work. Listen to what the Proverbs said in Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. Which having no guide, no overseer, no rule, nobody to say, go get a job. That's what he's saying here. That ant provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long are you going to sleep, oh sluggard? That's what my dad used to tell us when we were in high school and coming back from college. We look forward to those days where we could sleep in to like noon or 1 o'clock, right? And he'd come banging through the doors. How long are y'all going to sleep, you bunch of sluggards? That's what he's saying. How long are you going to sleep, oh sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? When are you going to get out of bed? Because a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of sleep, your poverty is going to come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So don't miss verse number 9. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all your work. Do all your work. Labor. That's a part of our Christian character. Integrity is one who works. I'm not talking about those who are disabled and can't. I'm not talking about those who are retired and you've passed that stage, right? I'm talking about your character, your integrity ought to be governed by one who is a hard worker. A hard worker. And I encourage you to study the book of Proverbs because Solomon dealt with this over and over again about our character dealing in hard work. Hard work. So understand that inclusive in this command is how we are to live our lives every day, not just one day. Work hard. So briefly, let me give you some principles of the Sabbath day. Number one, the Sabbath day is not just any other day. Kind of talked about that this morning, didn't we? The name of God is not just any other name. Well, the Sabbath day is not just any other day. Look at it again in verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor, do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and not even your cattle. All right? 6 days you work, the seventh day you rest. It's supposed to be different. Now notice it again. 6 days the Bible says we're to labor and do all the work. Now, what we exercise here in America as a 5-day work week with a 2-day weekend is something that's not prominent worldwide. It's something that's not been around very long at all. So when we look at this command strictly, which says work for 6 days, I know some of you theologians are thinking, well, my job only requires me to be there Monday through Friday. I get Saturday off. Some of you are fortunate enough to have that. Some of you don't have Saturday off. Some of you, this is your only day off. Some of you have Saturday and Sunday off, or whatever the case may be. Maybe you work through Saturday. Maybe you get a day week off, whatever the case may be. Understanding we are blessed to live in a country that has adopted a 5-day work week as a pretty normal thing, all right? That's not a devoting of laziness. It was not going against the Bible when our government back in the early 1900s set aside our work week as a 5-day work week with a 2-day weekend. It's just something that we've been blessed to have. I was reading a little bit about this. It wasn't until 1926 when Henry Ford began shutting down his factories and giving his employees Saturday and Sunday off. And really the reason he was doing that is because there were so many Fords broken down Monday through Friday. They were exerting so much energy during those 5 days that they needed some rest, all right? And so Henry Ford started this whole thing. He was tired of fixing every broken car in town. And so actually he was really the one. In 1926, he decided that he would be the first manufacturing company to allow Saturday and Sunday to be 2 days off. It was often already observed by the Jewish people because of the Sabbath. The Sabbath occurred from 6 o'clock or really sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. That was considered the Sabbath. And then the Christians got involved in it. And so they came to this conclusion, well, we'll just work 5 days and we'll let Saturday, Sunday be what is known as a 2-day weekend. It was actually officialized here in the United States of America in 1940 that the labor force agreed that Monday through Friday would be the regular normal work days for the average manufacturing company, and then Saturday and Sunday would be a regular 2-day weekend where most people would exercise that day off. So understanding our culture and the country that we live in. The Bible says here we're to work 6 days, but I think the implication is we are to work diligently in our labor. We're to follow the example of God. God's culture was a 6-day work week, all right? Maybe yours is 5-day. Maybe you are older and you work part-time, and maybe it's 3-day. Whatever many days that you're required to work, the principle is the same. Be a hard worker. Work diligently. Work hard. Provide for yourself. Provide for your family. God is a hard worker. He wants you and I to be a hard worker as well. That's what he says in verse number 11. Look at it. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. It's interesting. This is another sermon for another time. But some people think work is a result of sin. That's totally foreign to the concept of the Bible. I think some of you really think that. You think that the whole work thing is because sin came into the world. Actually, before sin ever entered the world, God gave Adam and Eve work to do. Work's the biblical principle. And I believe, if you were not here for our Revelation series, you heard it. If not, go back and listen to it. I believe we'll work in heaven. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches us that. So work is a heavenly thing. Work is something that God instituted for our lives. So after the 6 days of hard work and labor, God says you can take the 7th day and you can rest. Look at it in verse 10. For the 7 days of the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou or thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor the cattle of stranger that is within thy gate. This comes from the principle of God's model. We find that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, where the Bible says, on the 7th day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7th day from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the 7th day, sanctified it. Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So this whole idea that we're to work hard for the majority of our week and God gives us one day, a day of rest and replenishment, this is not just a design of God. This is something that God has modeled for us. So here's the picture that I want you to get. As believers, we are to pattern the rhythm of our life after God's rhythm. Do you get that? My rhythm to life is to be patterned after the rhythm of God. Work for 6 days, rest on the 7th. Work for 6 days, rest on the 7th. Work hard during the week, rest on the 7th. That was God's rhythm. That's to be my rhythm. And the whole principle of the Sabbath, before we get into the details and implications of it, is that the Sabbath day is not just any other day. Again, go back to verse number 10. We're to work for 6 days, but that one day, that 7th day, it's the Sabbath. And on it, he says, I don't want you to do these things. And he lists work and all these things that they did on the other 6 days that they shouldn't necessarily be doing on the 7th day. The point he was trying to make is the Sabbath needs to look different. It needs to look different than the other 6 days. Now, don't miss this. I'm saying these words on purpose. The Sabbath needs to look different than the other 6 days. Needs to feel different than the other 6 days. The Sabbath is to be an entirely different day than the other 6 days that you exert in your life. So I ask you a question. Does your Sabbath day look different? Does it feel different? Are you doing different things on the Lord's Day than what you've done the 6 previous days? Because this is the first principle of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day is to look different than the other 6 days. Now, I know where some of you are going. I'm going to get to some of this in just a minute. You want a list of things that you can and cannot do on the Lord's Day. I know that's what you want. I know it. And I'm not going to give it to you. Because God didn't give it to you. If we be real honest tonight, a lot of the things that you have questions about, I can't answer. You need to ask the one who established the Sabbath. But I do know this principle, and I've wrestled with this. How far do I go with this? How much do I enforce? How much do I try to get you to understand scripturally? There's a lot of things that I don't fully understand, but one thing I do know is that this day is to look and feel different than the other 6. It's to be different. That's the principle. You work for 6 days, you rest on the 7th. 6 days of the same schedule, the seventh needs to be different. Is your seventh different? Is your Sabbath different? That's interesting because the word Sabbath, do you know what it means? It literally means rest. The Sabbath day means the rest day. That's what it means. So you work for 6 days, you rest one day, the Sabbath day. It literally means rest. And so to play on words here for just a moment, the Sabbath needs to be a day different from the rest. Okay? The Sabbath needs to be a day different from the rest. Some of you feel bad even taking a nap. I mean, honestly, I know not all of us feel that way. But some of you feel like you're wasting time, wasting energy, wasting work, that you're doing something bad if you take a nap. Well, listen, I think one of the greatest ways that you exemplify God is when you take a nap. Amen. Amen. I took the joy trip to Amish country. That's all they did was nap this week. Man, nap, eat and nap, eat and nap. Go to the bathroom, eat and nap, eat and nap, eat and nap. Actually, it was go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, eat, nap, go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. It's okay to nap. God rested. He wants you to rest. And some of you need to be to your spouse what my wife is to me. You need to get in your spouse's face with that finger and say, God rested, you need to rest too. It needs to look different. It needs to feel different. It's to be a day different from the rest. Here's the second question or second principle here. The Sabbath day is not just any other day, but secondly, it's the form of a question. Is the Sabbath day Saturday or Sunday? Is the Sabbath day Saturday or Sunday? Look at verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day. What day? The Sabbath day. And when God established the Sabbath day of the Old Testament for the nation of Israel, the schedule was 6 days of work, Sunday through Friday. Sunday was the first day of the week. It was a work day. Their Sundays is like our Mondays. Okay? They got up. They dealt with traffic. I mean, there was 1,500 cattle in the streets. They're weaving in and out. They're not taking God's name in vain. They're headed to work. Work week, Sunday through Friday. That's what they did. Now, the one day of rest was Saturday. Saturday was the seventh day. Day number one is Sunday. It's the Jewish calendar. It's the same calendar that we follow today. Sunday is the first day of the week. It goes through 6 days of work. The seventh is Saturday. Now, because of that, the Sabbath day on Saturday was to be used as this day of rest. And it was held from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. And everything would shut down. Everything. As a matter of fact, I'm told I've not had the privilege to go. I hope the Lord will provide that opportunity for me one day to go to the Holy Land and visit. I've told from people who've been there that it's still being observed this day where everything shuts down in Jerusalem, in Israel, at about 6 o'clock Friday and doesn't open up again at about 6 o'clock on Saturday. I mean, it just all shuts down. If you're visiting as a tourist, you're not going to be able to find a cab. You're not going to find a restaurant. You're not going to be able to do those things because that is their Sabbath day. Everything is observed. Everything is honored. And that's kind of how it is in the Old Testament. Now, we as New Testament Christians, let's be very careful. We as New Testament Christians do not keep the Sabbath laws as given by God to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Those exact laws we do not keep. Those who claim that they keep the Old Testament Sabbath law surely do not follow all of them. Matter of fact, there's over 1,500 laws for the Sabbath. But here's why I know those who claim that they keep the Old Testament Sabbath laws do not keep them. Because here's what God said about breaking the Sabbath laws. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death. So it's interesting. Some people from time to time would say, we should keep the Old Testament Sabbath laws. Well, really, you want to do that? Do you really want to do that? Because if you break just one of those 1,500 of them, you should die. It's interesting. Because the Jews began to do what we religious people like to do. They added to the command. They took this command that God gave them, remember the Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh day, keep it holy. And so the Jews got together and they added to the law by giving it 1,521 additional rules to honoring the Sabbath. It was over these additional rules that Jesus was often questioned about in the New Testament by the Pharisees. That's why they would stop Jesus, and if someone was hurt on the side of the road, they would say, no, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day, so even though they're hurt and they're laying on the side of the road, you're to leave them there till 6:01. Because if you break the Sabbath, you're to be stoned, you are to be killed. Now here's what I want you to understand. The Sabbath instituted by God for Israel, I'm talking about Saturday, that day of rest, the Sabbath day. It was supposed to be a blessing. A blessing. But the people, the religious people, turned it into a burden. And that's what happened. What God intended to be a blessing, man made a burden. So yes, to answer your first question, if someone were to come to you, maybe a Seventh-day Adventist, maybe a Jew, were to talk to you and say the Bible says the Sabbath day is on Saturday, guess what? They would be absolutely correct. The Bible does say that the Sabbath day was on a Saturday. So why aren't we honoring Saturday? Why don't we worship on Saturday? Because when Jesus came, everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed when Jesus came on the scene, for He was the fulfillment of the Sabbath day. Remember what the Sabbath day and the rest of these commandments were for Israel. They were a foreshadow of the Messiah to come. They were pointing toward Jesus. God knew they would break the laws. He knew they would not keep them. That's why it pointed toward Jesus. And when we look back at it, we see how gracious God has been to us to give us Jesus, the fulfillment of the law. And the same concept is true about the Sabbath. The Sabbath day for Israel was a shadow that pointed toward the eternal rest that only Jesus Christ could offer. Yes, they were to rest on the Sabbath. Yes, they were to not work on Saturday. But it meant so much more to that. It was to point them to Jesus, to help them understand that there was coming a Messiah. He would come from them. He would be of their people. And He would be the one who would not only give them daily rest, but He could give them eternal rest. You see, Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our Sabbath. That's why Jesus could say in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is Jesus who gives us rest. So when we look at the fact that Jesus came, He was born of the Virgin Mary, He died on the cross at Calvary 3 days later, He gloriously resurrected from the grave, and when that resurrection occurred, Jesus Christ changed everything, even our day of rest, our day of worship. So why? Why did it change from Saturday to Sunday? Well, many of you Bible students already understand and recognize this, but Jesus' bodily resurrection occurred on the first day of the week. He arose on the first day of the week. He arose on Sunday. And what was the first day of the week on the Jewish calendar? It wasn't Monday, it was Sunday. That was the first day. And so for years, God's people, the Jews, took Saturday off as their Sabbath. And it changed to Sunday on the account of the Lord's glorious resurrection. By the way, as a little side note, this was a great sacrifice for the Jewish people. Imagine if God told us today, from now on, beginning next week, Monday was going to be the Lord's Day and you would need to worship on Monday. The society's not going to change, culture's not going to change, everything's going to remain the same. But from now on, in God's eyes, we're to worship and gather on Monday. That would be quite a burden and hardship to us. There's no way that the majority of us could even work that out. So you got to think about the sacrifice that these Jewish people made who had become believers in Jesus Christ. The day that was their day off by Jewish calendar, by Jewish society, was now changing to the first day of their work week. And that's what God established when He arose from the tomb. And it changed the Sunday on the account of the Lord's resurrection. It's now called not the Sabbath. It's not called the Sabbath. John identified it as the Lord's Day. What is today? Today's not the Sabbath day. Today's the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, you might ought to write that reverence down. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It's not the Sabbath anymore. The Sabbath is on Saturday. But the Lord's Day is on Sunday. The commandment hasn't changed. The commandment stays the same. He wants us to honor the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. The day that He rose from the grave. Think about all that now is taking place on Sunday because of what took place on Sunday in the Bible. I don't think I have these in your notes, but you might want to write them down as I go through them together. Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. That verse tells us that Jesus resurrected on Sunday. John chapter 20 and verse 19 as well as verse 26 tells us that the disciples met with Jesus on Sundays after His resurrection. They no longer met on Saturdays. They met on Sundays. As a matter of fact, John chapter 20 and verse 19, they assembled together in that room where Jesus had appointed them. He showed up. Thomas wasn't there. And the Bible says 7 days later, the next Sunday, Jesus comes in again. Thomas is there this time. He believes this time. He wasn't there before time. And so you see this continual progression that Sunday after Sunday, not only is Jesus now meeting with His disciples, but the church is gathering together for worship on Sunday, the Lord's Day. John chapter 20 and verse 21, it was on that day, Sunday, through that verse, that the disciples were commissioned to do the work of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, we see that the Holy Spirit was imparted for the very first time to the apostles. When was the Holy Spirit given? It was given on the Lord's Day. It was given on Sunday. In that same verse, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, we see that the church was born. The church that we know today, that early church, that church in the book of Acts, the New Testament church, it was birthed, it was launched, it was started on Sunday, not on the Sabbath, not on Saturday. It was done on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. The book of Revelation was given on Sunday, Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, we see that the church in Acts worshiped weekly on Sunday, regularly on Sunday. Acts 20 and verse 7 says that the church met together to worship. Again, not on Saturday, not on the Sabbath day. They met regularly for worship on Sunday. Why? Because Sunday was now the Lord's Day. Why was it the Lord's Day? Because that was the day He resurrected from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 is an interesting verse. Furthering the proof that God changed worship to the Lord's Day, because it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 that the church collected its offerings. It was on that day where Paul says, the first day of the week, when you come to church, when you go to worship, bring your tithes with you. Bring your offerings with you. And so another indication that our worship, our assembling together, it changed from Saturday to Sunday. It's not the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. The principle is still there. We are to remember the Lord's Day and we're to keep it holy. So the biblical evidence is clear. Our Sabbath day is Sunday. Now, I know the Jews and the Seventh-day Adventists are going to say, well, the Bible says it's Saturday. Yes, the Bible says it's Saturday. But Jesus changed everything. Jesus changed everything. He changed our worship to the first day of the week. Sunday is now our day of worship. And I'll give you this third thing and we'll be finished. Not only do we understand that the Sabbath day is not just any other day, we recognize that the Sabbath day is technically Saturday, but it was changed to Sunday. Number three, notice with me the priority of the Lord's Day. The priority of the Lord's Day. Look back again at verse number 8. He says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now this commandment, along with the principles of the New Testament, give us what should be our priority on Sundays. Priority of the Lord's Day. I cannot give you, as I said before, a set of rules for the Sabbath. Those rules have already been set, technically. You can study the Levitical law and you'll see that in the Levitical law, those rules were established for Israel and you and I could never keep them anyway. We even tried to live by the Levitical law that was not intended for us, but was intended for Israel. We'd all be stoned today. All of us. For breaking one of the 1,521 laws. However, that does not mean that God has annulled the fourth commandment. As a matter of fact, it's still very much relevant for New Testament Christianity. In fact, the grace He has given us is to increase our commitment. It's to increase our commitment. It's to cause us to be more passionate and more loving and more worshipful on the Lord's day. That's what grace does. Grace enables us to do what our flesh resists. It gives us the strength and energy to honor God greater than any rules could ever set for us. So this command is very much relevant. It's very much applicable. God wants you and I to honor the Lord's day. Now, how do we do that? Well, according to this verse, He only gives us two ways. And without going into the discretionary needs of the verse, it doesn't deal with ironing, going to ball games, or whether you should wash clothes on Sunday. But there are two things that He rather emphasizes that still is to be maintained on this day, the Lord's day. Number one, keep it a holy day. Keep it a holy day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? To keep it holy. Keep it a holy day. You realize the most frequently used attribute of God in the Bible is His holiness. The one thing that is talked more about God than any other characteristic, any other attribute, is the fact that our God is a holy God. And He says to us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And by the way, on the Lord's day, make sure you make it a priority to keep it holy. Holy. The Lord's day is an extra special day. It's to be different than any other day of our week. I understand every day ought to be lived in holiness to God. I understand that. But Sunday's different. Sunday's the Lord's day. It's not your day. Did you understand me? It is not your day to do what you want to do. When the Lord resurrected from the grave and John on the island of Patmos wrote Revelation 1:10, He didn't say, "I was in the Spirit on my day." In the Spirit on the Lord's day. It'll change how you view this day when you realize it is His and not yours. His day. So it's not what I do on the Sabbath, it's what He would have me to do. It's not my priorities for the Sabbath, it's His priorities for me. It's not about my day. Sunday is my day. No, Sunday is the Lord's day. It is a holy day. We're to keep it holy to God. God's appointed day. The fact that He tells us to keep it holy, He says the activity of your day is to center around the worship of a holy God. The Sabbath is to center around the worship of a holy God. The Lord's day is to center around the worship of a holy God. And so I know what you wanted. You were coming tonight hoping that I would give you a list of things that you can and cannot do. Can I watch television on the Lord's day? Can I wash clothes? Can I work in the yard? Can I go to the ball game? It's not about what you can't do today. It's about how I can honor, how I can worship, how I can praise, how I can glorify Him on this His day. The 6 days are for whatever you want to do. Do what you want to do on Monday. Plan your schedule on Tuesday. Go fishing on Wednesday. Work longer on Thursday. Do this activity on Friday. Grocery shop on Saturday. But wait a minute. When you get to Sunday, it's different than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. It's His day. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. That's the principle. Keep it holy. I think the New Testament is very clear that we're to assemble together for worship as a church family on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day. The early church established that gathering on Sunday. That's why we often quote Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 as a reminder that we are not to forsake. We are not to forsake. We are not to be unfaithful to the assembling of ourselves together. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the number one item on your Sunday agenda should be assembling together with your church family to worship. The number one item on today's agenda. Well, Pastor, what if I go to the early service and then go to the ball game and get back for the 5:30? I don't care. If God wants you and you have peace about that, you do what you want to do. But it better be your priority to worship God on Sunday. Don't skip church, go to a ball game. You don't skip church because the hunting's just right. You don't skip church because they're double couponing at Harris Teeter and Sunday's the only day to do it. If you're that much interested in the television show that happens to come on at 12 o'clock while I'm preaching in extra innings, then DVR it. Because the priority is this is His day. And the number one thing on my agenda and what's going to continue on in my family for generation to generation to generation is, did I make God number one on His day? Nobody bust in the doors of someone else's birthday making it all about them. Can you imagine being invited to a birthday party? You have this obnoxious person that makes life about them. Oh, look at all these presents. That was so nice of y'all. I know my birthday's not until 2 nights from now, but thank you. All about them. They jump in line first. They're the first ones eating the end corner of the icing of the cake. They think it's their day. And so we get all bent out of shape about that. We start writing songs. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. And the whole premise is that everybody thought it was their day when it was my day. But how often do we treat the Lord like that? We bust in the doors of His day, making all these schedules when this day is really about Him. I think it's so sad that oftentimes people, and you know people like this, I know people like this. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, the Sunday night crowd. I know you're thinking you should have preached this on Sunday morning, but it's not where God led me. He wanted the Sunday nighters to hear it. I think sometimes it's so sad that we treat our employers better than we treat God. So sad. Some of you wouldn't think for a moment to call your boss and say, "Hey, I am so sorry that I've missed the last 2 weeks of work. We just needed some family time. We went to the beach this day. And well, I had a headache on Tuesday. And I just can't stand the loud machinery at the warehouse. And so I just stayed at home. I appreciate the paychecks, though. Thank you for sending them. But that's why I've been gone the last 3 weeks." You wouldn't tell your boss that. And I've always found it amazing how that we can come up with a million excuses why we can miss this day, and then we'll be right back up at 6 o'clock in the morning headed where we work. Why? Because we care about that paycheck, don't we? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just giving a reality check tonight. And that is, some of you treat others, your employers, better than you treat God. Excuses you give God, you would never dream giving your employers. I think you show your children, your neighbors, your friends, just how important God is to you by how you either respect or disrespect the holiness of this day. I remember a guy preaching one time when I was a kid. I don't remember who it was, but it stuck with me. He said, "Buddy, on those days I didn't even feel like going to church. I still got in my car and went. Because my neighbors who didn't go to church, they knew that car was on its way to church every Sunday. And if that car was there, it would have been a bad testimony." Well, if you're sick, you might want to park it in the garage. That way they think you're at church, you know. we're sending a strong message about what we think of the holiness of God by how we view this day. Our children, our neighbors, our friends. I don't know all that God wants us to do and not to do. I really don't. But I know one thing. He wants me to keep it holy. It's His day first. So if you don't feel like you need to cut the grass, then don't. That's between you and God. It doesn't say it in the Bible. I don't know. If you don't think you should go to the ball game, then don't go to a ball game. It doesn't say it. I don't know. If you don't think you should work or not work, I would say this. I'm very thankful that if I were to have a heart attack today, Carrie's not working, but she would be working on a certain rotation on Sunday. I'm glad there's people in the hospital ready to see my needs on Sunday if I fall over the heart attack. Sometimes we get so legalistic and we burden that which God meant to be a blessing. I don't know all that God wants us to do and not to do. But I know He wants Him to be number one. And we're to keep it holy. It's His day. It's His day. Next Sunday morning, you need to get up in the mirror when you're tempted to sleep in, do something else, go fishing, go golf. What? You need to stand up, look in that mirror, and you say, "This is God's day, not my day. He's going to be first." Here's the second thing He gives us, and this is really the only two things. Number one, keep it a holy day. Number two, keep it a healthy day. Keep it a healthy day. Now, I think I could show you some scriptures where it says you shouldn't eat steaks and you can't go to buffets and salads are really all that you need to eat on the Lord's Day. But I couldn't find any, so we'll spare that today, all right? You see, worship is not the only thing we're to do on the Lord's Day. It's also a day of rest. A day of rest. Well, Pastor, you work on Sundays. Well, not really. Not really. Because this day is different than the other 6 days. I'm just worshiping together with you. Some of you serving the usher, I just happen to preach. Some of you sing, I just happen to preach. I'm not really working today. This is just a different day other than the other 6. But we are to rest. Don't forget the principle of the Sabbath. Work and rest. Work and rest. Work and rest. Keep it a holy day, but make sure you keep it a healthy day. Why? Because God designed this day for you to find rest. It's very interesting what He says in Mark chapter 2 because He knows our needs. Listen to what He said in verse 27. And He said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." God said, "I designed this day as a day of rest because I know you need it." We need to rest. You need days where you take naps. Kathleen and I go through seasons on how we do our Sundays. Now our Sunday preparation for having a healthy day begins way before Sunday ever arrives. Saturday we try to limit our activity, and sometimes we're unable to do that. But we try to limit our activity and our involvement of going places and doing things. We try to take care of all that we want to take care of on Friday night or Saturday up until about lunchtime. But typically, if everything's going the way that we would like for it to go, about lunchtime on Saturday is where we settle in and just get rested and be ready for this day, the Lord's Day. I think that's important because I'm a night owl. I like to stay up late. Especially during football season, college football is on to like midnight. Then the baseball playoffs, it goes into extra innings, and you're like 3 a.m. trying to hold your eye. I can't go to bed. I can't look away, you know. And then you don't realize why you're doing all of that. That the reason why everybody thinks you're moody on Sundays, the reason you don't have a song in your heart, and everyone's afraid to say how you're doing or God bless you, because. Because you didn't prepare for this day the way you ought to prepare for it. I remember when we went to 2 services, I knew it was going to be a change in just my energy levels. This is the 3rd time I've preached today. I'll do some counseling tonight at the service. There's a lot that goes on. And so I knew to keep this a healthy day, we had to make some changes. We've not perfected it. But I know one thing, it's very important to Kathleen and I that we do our very best on Saturday to make sure that we can give God our very best on Sunday. Keep it a healthy day. After church, go home. Rest if you can. Spend time with your family if you can. Enjoy some things together. God knows you need it. It's there for you to find replenishment. And I'm convinced that when you honor and remember the Lord's Day, it'll be the happiest day of your week. I mean, if I stood here today and said, how many is looking forward to Monday? I might have a dozen tomatoes thrown at me, right? I'll look forward to Monday. There's something different about Sunday. Something special, significant. When I get to assemble together with the greatest people on earth, God's people, the people that He's called me to minister to, the people of Laurel Bath, no other church that I'd rather be a part of, affiliated with, or to worship with, I get excited about that. I wake up and I go to my iPod on my own iPhone or iTunes and I pull up my Sunday morning playlist. It's a little different than my Saturday playlist, but my Sunday morning playlist, it begins with 10,000 reasons and then it goes at the cross and then the third song deals with the scriptures and ancient words and it's just preparing me for a holy day and a healthy day. Why? Because I'm excited about the Lord's Day together with God's people. I think when you honor it, remember it, keep it holy, keep it healthy, it'll be the happiest day. It won't be none of this, I got to go back to church tonight. I'm trying to help my daughter understand this about every Sunday. She did it to me again today. Daddy, why do we go back to church twice on Sunday? Because our forefathers told us to, and we can't remove the ancient landmarks. That's why. No, I said because we love Jesus and we got to worship all day. This is His day. I told her, this is His day and we want to worship Jesus. You know what she said? I can tell she's learning this in one of her classes. She said, well, I want to worship Jesus with my mouth and praise Him in my heart. I love that. I love that. And I want her to do it on Sunday night too. This is His day. It's a happy day. Anticipate it. I can't wait to sing or learn the next new song Jared's going to teach us. I can't wait to hear what God's going to do in our lives, see the new families join, the people who are going to be saved, how God's going to change life. There is nothing like assembling together with God's people on our day of rest for worship, fellowship, and encouragement around the throne of God. And some of you are looking for that rest. And you're looking for that peace. But that rest and that peace in your life and for your home is not going to come until you remember the Sabbath. And keep it holy. Herschel Ford said the first commandment told us to worship God and none other. The second told us to worship Him directly and to have no idols. The third told us to worship Him sincerely and not falsely. The fourth tells us of a special time set aside for worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.